something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play another round of Hey Aren't You with Gretchen McClurk.
I'm going to a golf tournament in Bermuda.
Plus, we meet Gino Vannelli's songwriting partner,
Roy Freeland.
That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
Here.
Hey, it's you, Fatburger Lady.
I'm sorry to bother you. I never do this.
Is it not McCluck? Susie McCluck?
Gretchen McClurk.
Gretchen McClurk, sorry.
Hey, aren't you? I've had it with these motherfucking snakes and the motherfucking plant.
Well, that's right. I am Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Royale with cheese.
Nice to meet you.
Royale with cheese.
Yeah, that's what I said in Pulp Fiction. Royale with cheese.
They're metric. Royale with cheese.
Did you say them? What was that last line?
they're metric over there, remember?
The metric?
They don't have a quarter pounder. That was the whole conversation. They don't have a quarter pounder because they went metric.
Oh, that's right.
But you know what they call... quarter pounder with cheese, they called a royale with cheese.
You know, first, second, I thought you were being one of those like super ignorant people that said you're in the Matrix. Like, jerks that get people confused.
Okay, it's Hey Aren't You, the Fatburger Lady edition.
Hey Aren't You, the Fatburger edition.
Okay, you're one for one with Gretchen McClurk.
Gretchen McClurk.
Okay, here comes another next one. You ready?
Yeah.
Sorry to bother you. Sorry to bother you.
Yes.
Aren't you? You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Oh.
You're beautiful. It's true.
Yes, yes. I'm James Blunt.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought so.
Yes. I'm about to go to Ibiza. And do a bunch of E with 400 or 500 women.
I saw your face.
Would you like to come?
In a crowded place. And I don't know what to do. That's you, right?
I love my EDM. Yes, it's me.
Wait a sec. What do you mean, do E with 400 women?
Well, I read some story that he's like some party animal. And he'll go out and just... He's seen in Ibiza, like...
Well, we've talked about it before, but I didn't know that he was like... into, what is it called when you go to, like, a place down south? But oh, hedonism. I didn't know he was a hedonist.
Well, no, he's a Ibizaist.
Oh, man. Who's buying into that lifestyle?
I don't know, but him and Bono are there all the time.
Hey, aren't you, are you who I think you are? I can't believe it's you. Aren't you the, show me the money?
That's right. I'm Cuba Gooding Jr. Did I tell you I got banged up with him a couple times?
Okay, perfect segue. Where and
Cuba
why?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
And also how?
I think once at like a, I don't know what party, maybe Much Awards or something, and then another couple times in L.A.,
He dined out on that movie for a long time.
Yeah, man. He gets right into things. I tell you what, he's go out a lot.
Is he?
Yeah.
So say it started at the Much Music Video Awards. How did you end up circling the wagon back so that it happened again?
I can't remember. I don't know if it's like friends of his were friends with like Rachel Hunter's friends or something like that. So like we'd see him a lot and... His dad was a soul singer in a band, like, can't remember which, but like a popular band. So talking about music with him, and he's a genuinely cool, nice guy, for sure. But he just likes to get right into things.
So does he become that guy?
Not really, but I mean,
but he's up for it.
Yeah, when you're out a lot, I don't want to be like. Say he's one way or the other, because when people go out, you can see them do either thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he just was always out and always having a good time, so.
I think maybe we need to come up with, like a phrase, like maybe up for it is the phrase. Oh, he's up for it. Like it's not a mean phrase. It just
no, but it's just he gets right into things.
I guess that kind of says it too. Okay, you ready?
It's kind of that. What?
Hey, aren't you? Aren't you? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah. Yes, that's me. That's Tom Hanks. Yes.
You're like 4 for 4. I picked softballs. Okay, here's a good one.
Yeah, those are maybe softballs, or I just know my movies.
Well, here comes one that might require a bit of a deeper dive.
All right.
Hey, aren't you, I hate to bother you.
Yes.
Aren't you, I don't want to hear anybody else when I think about your judgment, sir.
I think I might understand. Can you do that once again?
I don't want anybody else when I think about your judgment, sir.
Gordon Lightfoot?
No.
Whitney Houston?
No.
But aren't you doing that? Da, da, da,
da, da, da. You know what? You might have just exposed a lawsuit in the making. It is the same progression.
Is it the same melody?
I don't want anybody else, and when I think about you, I touch myself.
Is it the same?
Divinals.
Divinals. I would never get that.
I don't want anybody else. Okay, here's a good one. It's from a movie. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry to bother you.
Yes?
Are you who I think you are?
Maybe.
You remember, do you like apples? How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I am Matt Damon.
Man, you're on fire! Thanks. That was a great movie.
It was.
And maybe the only... I wrote a joke about Tiger Woods calling his bird a mini driver around that time.
Oh my
but wasn't goodness. That was the only movie that I really liked Minnie Driver in.
I had a Gus Van Sant joint with Elliot Smith jam, so yeah, it was a good movie. Robin Williams, remember? That's when he's full on rubbing the gumsies together.
Yeah.
Big time.
Wearing glasses and had a beard, look out.
Griming the... Yeah, well, good luck, right? As soon as you see the picture, you know you're going to be in tears.
Yeah, as soon as you see him in glasses, you're like, oh, no.
Well, when you saw him in glasses with the one-hour photo, remember that?
They shot part of that at CBC in Toronto.
He nailed that creep.
What was the first movie where Robin Williams sucked the tears out of your look balls?
Oh, it has to be The World According to Garp.
Oh. Big time.
That's the one for sure.
I don't know that I've seen it. I've read it, but I don't know if I've seen it.
Oh, that's a big... And that's actually one of the most... one of the biggest tearjerkers of all time. There's some moments in that movie you just don't want to even think about happening to you.
Well, John Lithgow crushes it. I know what I'm not doing tonight.
John Lithgow crushes it in that.
Lithgow is one of those underrated kind of actors. I didn't like that Third Rock from the Sun show, but I admire his abilities.
I did enjoy that show, even. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I'm a tough room with that stuff.
Dead Poets Society was the first movie that Robin Williams really sucked the tears out of my look balls.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, Captain, well, my Captain. Okay, you ready?
Good Morning Vietnam, too.
Yes, but I felt like that was, you know, when...
Using the war to get everybody crying?
No. I remember seeing it and thinking that was Robin Williams on GAC comedy-wise. Like, I'm going to throw everything against the wall and a small percentage of it will stick. But you have to kind of sit through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't my favorite role of his. Totally admire his ability to do it. And I know that probably a great percentage of it was improv, and that alone is astonishing. But it wasn't my favorite character of his.
Awakenings had some tear-sucking
moments. Oh, well, Awakenings was about Oliver Sacks, right?
Yeah, real story.
And his books are fascinating. The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
What's that one where he builds a hospital? That's kind of tearjerker, but it's kind of...
Was that? That's where he had the clown nose on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody's an Oliver Sacks fan, by the way. I know people that don't approve of Oliver Sacks.
And his brother Kolosoff.
Can we get the check, please? Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Hey, I can't believe this.
What?
I won't blow your cover here at Fatburger, but aren't you a go ahead, make my day?
Why, of course. I'm Clint Eastwood.
I knew it!
Can I please get a double, double, double with extra fries and a
large cock?
Do you like my Trump t-shirt?
Large cock. No way.
Oh, he's huge, Trumpsky.
No, he's not.
Trumpsky.
I know that every character he plays sure seems like they would be. Is he legit Trumpsky?
He's Humpty Trumpsky.
No.
Yeah. He's a little drummer Trumpsky.
Trumpster fire? He's doing the Humpty Trump?
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, man. He's the tickle Trumpsky.
He's reaching into the tickle Trump. Oh, boy. One of the most... Okay. Trump saying in the last week that he would have run into that school in Parkland.
Yeah, bullshit.
Ridiculous. And then someone posted a picture...
Him running from the podium?
No, of him walking up the ramp onto the plane in the rain with an umbrella over him and Barron's two steps behind him out in the pouring rain with nothing.
Yeah, and then how about the time there's like, there's a gun in the audience, and he runs off the stage.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then there's the one where the eagle in his office just moves, and he almost jumps out of the chair, and he's afraid of stairs, too. You know, he won't go up or down stairs. So, yeah, he's
Who's afraid of stairs?
Trump.
Why?
For some reason, he avoids them like the plague. I don't know. Maybe he's got brutal knees or something.
Is there an elevator in the White House?
Well, there's got to be a reason why he doesn't get he doesn't walk anywhere. When he golfs, he's in the golf cart, even on the greens. When he's doing, they did that walk when I don't remember where it was with all these other world leaders, and he like was following them in a golf cart.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, super exciting news to report in the real Bonnie's life.
Oh, yeah?
She adopted a little furry friend named Paco.
Oh, man, I love that.
And Paco's 12, and he's a Chihuahua, and he has 3 teeth, and he's dope AF.
Man, Paco.
He's great.
Can we hear Paco, like, hear her talk about him?
Well, he likes to party.
Okay, let's hear it. Give us the Bonnie perspective.
Yeah, the little dog is settling in pretty good. You know, I don't want him sleeping on my bed, you know, in case he has to get down in the night, but I put him on the couch and he has a blanket there, you know.
How long have you had him now?
A couple weeks now, you know. Settling in pretty good, you know.
I'm going to tell you one thing, Bonnie, I guess. I bet you that dog's sleeping in your bed by the end of the month.
The dog won't ever sleep in my bed. No, he's going to sleep on the couch where I put a blanket for him, you know.
She bought, this will tell you a lot about her love of animals.
I love it. She's like, no.
He was eating dog food with his 3 teeth, and she's like, not my Paco, you know. So she went to Superstore and got some, like, honey garlic meatballs.
Oh, no.
And that's what he's eating twice a day.
No. He eats honey garlic meat.
He's gorking them down twice a day. And he's 7 or 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And his diet, like, it's like he moved into an all-you-can-eat buffet.
That's like my parents had a Cocker Spaniel that I got them as a present in, like, 1995 or something. It was a Cocker, named Nolan.
After Nolan Ryan?
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, he, like, I'd see him once in a while. I'd come over and he'd be eating, like, a Harvey's burger.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, its own box.
Oh, boy.
That's so bad. Once in a while, but yeah, that was a treat. But they inhale, I'll tell you, they'll inhale a burger no different than they'll inhale a bunch of
things. They'll eat anything.
Yeah, you put like some chicken broth on a bunch of dog food and they'll crush it like no tomorrow.
Well, like the girls will drop a salt and vinegar goldfish on the floor.
Oh, that's out. Yeah.
He's actually all up in it.
Rebel won't touch goldfish for some reason. He just licks them and spits them out.
Curious.
Yeah. He'll eat some, he'll eat fruit, though. He'll crush an apple, piece of apple.
Henry's down with carrots.
pineapple.
But Paco has just been in a shelter for who knows how long. He's a sweet and happy little guy.
Like, I wish I had that name in my head, Paco. Annalie's named Rebel, but Paco's the best name ever.
It's a great name for a dog, and he's such a Paco, it's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
And you know what? Like I said, he was in a shelter for a long time, and now he could not be with someone that will love him harder.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
Like, her whole life is about, like, well, I have to get up at 6 in case he has to pee, you know.
Yeah.
And I take him out one last time at 10:30 in case he has to pee before bed, you know. Like, so into it.
I love it, yeah.
It's great.
The routine's got her all fired up.
Yeah, it does. Hey, aren't you, you talking to me? You talking to me?
Oh, man. Unbelievable. So Annalise is home still.
Yes.
She's got this tummy ache that's been going on and on. We think it's an infection that's from having a sickness over the holidays, and it just continues to be kind of terrible for the last 3 weeks. She hasn't been able to keep anything down, so she's, you know, losing weight because you're constantly trying to keep her nourished. So she's getting better. She kind of started getting better by giving her the probiotics and all that kind of stuff to give her the good bacteria to kill the bacteria in her stomach.
So has she been home from school this whole time?
She's been home now for almost 3 weeks.
Aww.
Yeah. But she started getting really good the last like 3 or 4 days, to the point where she was almost going to go to school. But then again, today it's gotten a little bit, she's thrown up a couple times in the morning. So it's just been just keeping in touch with the doctor. If we're on a plan now, if she keeps on this base of not being able to keep food down for another day or two, we're going to take her back to the doctor. But we've been taking her back and forth every couple days.
Poor little schmoo.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because you feel sorry for her because she's so tired and you know, getting thin, and that sucks.
So are they, like, is the school sending work home for her, or is she bored and restless? Or
She did some projects this week. She's had some homework that John and Jack brought home. And she's still happy and still very physically active. This morning, Lisa was sleeping with her, and she had, like, a knit brow in her while she was sleeping. You know, like...
She had a what?
A knit brow, like, concerned.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay. Face
while she's sleeping.
Wow, I've never heard it called that before. That's like the old English.
Anyway, she's doing that, and Lisa's like, oh, she's upset because she's not well, because this is going back to sleep after she was sick. And she woke up, and Lisa was like, Annalise, what were you just dreaming about? And so for the first time I've ever heard kind of an actual explanation for a dream, you know, when you ask someone, because they always forget.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, I was sitting and daddy was making me Anna pasta, which is what she calls the like
noodles
pasta that she eats, one that she likes, just the whole wheat spaghetti-o stuff kind of vibe. Anyway, she's like, daddy was making me Anna pasta, and I was gonna eat it, but then I looked and he was eating it, and I looked in the bowl and it was all gone. And that was the knit brow. It was like, hey, you ate all my pasta in the dream.
She was mad at you in her dream.
Yeah.
For scarfing it down.
Explaining the look in her on her face. Classic.
Cute.
She sure is.
We got a call from school yesterday morning. Indy wanted to come home. And it's hard to explain. Like, if you're not feeling well, you should come home. But also, if you just don't feel like being in school, maybe that's not enough of a reason to come home.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something that you could choose to interpret, you know, to your advantage if you were kind of in that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure.
But the one time you're like, you know what, you can probably tough it out and stay for the rest of the day. Sure enough, that would be when they'd projectile vomit all over the hallway.
Yeah, the only time where you're like, oh, no, you'll be all right. And then rah, pick them up at school.
Do you remember kids at school getting sick?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, do you remember a kid in particular who, like, you know, you always associate with that?
Me?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody I know threw up at one point. I think I became with friends with somebody once for like watching him throw up and not saying anything about it to anybody else. Aww. He's like, hey, thanks, man. Because usually it's like, hey, I saw him throw up, and hey, they're like pukey Paul or puke. You know, they go, it's so stupid, you know. Kids will find anything to
bully label you with, yeah.
When I used to have migraines constantly, I used to throw up. That was part of the deal. So I was always like, oh, I got to go. I was usually going to the bathroom. But it's still, when you're in the bathroom, there's other kids always in there, and you're like burling.
How old were you when you started getting migraines?
Like 12.
No way.
And then they were like on the reg from probably 13 to like 16, 17, like every
brutal
month to every other month.
To the point horrible. Where you'd get sick. That's a hard row to hoe.
It was weird because it was always this, like a certain day of the week. I think it was Wednesdays or something. Like there was a certain day I would fear.
Why? That,
I don't know. They would come on a calendar basis. Maybe it had to do with the sun and just the way the... Because, you know, the same way lots of things are affected by day and night, you know, and calendar years or whatever it is. There's obviously an increase in them with the chains of seasons, like from spring to summer, summer to fall, fall to winter. There's always a reaction of something where your body chemically gets ready for the next climate, you know.
But you don't get them anymore, right?
Not that much. Not much at all.
Is it still because get you know how to manage them, or you actually just kind of grew out of them?
No, I just have, like, I have painkillers, and now I have these wafers that you put under your tongue that are supposed to take it away.
Yeah, you know, do.
Hopefully they work. It's a new thing. But usually I just, tough it out. It sucks. Anyway. Hey, look at that. 22 minutes.
Let's take a break, bud.
Fucking right, eh?
Yellow.
We're ripping like Scottie Pippen, bud.
Pippen sounds.
Pippen. Tell the people where you're going.
Going to Bermuda, bud.
Where Carol and I went on our honeymoon.
Really?
I think in hindsight, I think I thought it was Bahamas or Barbados. I knew it was a place that started with a B, and I thought it was tropical.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Beautiful place. Have you been before?
Never been.
Unbelievably beautiful place.
It's probably one of the... It's the northernmost island, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like... It's more north than Miami.
Yeah. So it's kind of like South Florida tropical, right?
As yeah. Opposed to... And, you know, the first night of our honeymoon, the furniture on the balcony of our hotel room blew over the railing.
Yikes. Yeah. See, I'm looking forward to 40 mile an hour winds. So I'm going down to play in a golf tournament. How about that?
Tell me how it came about. I want to talk about the tournament itself, and then I want to talk about strategies for playing in the wind.
Okay.
So how did it come about?
I got some bods at the PGA of Canada.
Yep.
Chris Fry, who's a good bod. I've played golf with him before. And he basically said, hey, man, you want to come down to this thing in Bermuda?
Yes, I do.
I've heard other guys like Ian Leggett, who's my partner in the Stomp the Stigna golf tournament and a great golfer himself. He's been there several times. I had another two or three friends that have been to this event. It's the World Par 3 Challenge or Championship.
So is it Pro-Am?
The Fairmont, Southampton it is?
Yeah, that's where my honeymoon was.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So it starts. I get there Thursday, and I by the time people hear this, I'll be back because I'm back Sunday night.
How did you do?
I was fantastic. I won.
There's so much I want to talk about Bermuda. There is the Swizzle Inn where you can go for a rum swizzle, which is a paralyzing drink. The Indian food was actually spectacular on Bermuda. And Carol and I went for a church service on Saturday morning that lasted 3.5 hours And we were then invited over to the pastor's house for post-service gathering.
Yeah, this is kind of busy with the golf tournament and, like, they have events and stuff. But, I mean, I'll definitely be hanging out and sitting on a balcony.
Well, here's the other thing. If you rent a moped in Bermuda, you get a white helmet that looks like Kazoo. Oh, and that's how they know who the tourists are.
Oh, great. But is there, like, can you just, if you wander off the resort, do you just get to another resort? Is it that the way it is? Or is it like,
I feel like, I mean, it was 9 years ago, but I feel like it was kind of neighborhoody.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. Like, there's a pink sand beach, and the color of the water is spectacular, and so is the sky, and it is a beautiful place, and it's kind of a neat combo or cocktail of heritages. It's very British inspired.
Yeah.
So you see lots of kids. Like, we took the bus places, and you see kids getting on in their, you know, very dapper school uniforms with, of course, Bermuda shorts.
Will I perhaps maybe see one or two Europeans in tight Speedos?
Oh, there's a good chance. There's a good chance you will, yeah.
Hey, mate. Hey, dude, Donovan at the pool this week.
Wanting to order another... I almost did Seth Fisher.
Well, no, because
Donovan would be... Can I have a rum swizzle, yeah?
He's down because Keith Richards has got his place in Bahamas or whatever it
is. You swizzle in, but you swoozle out. Do you know what I mean?
Gotta see Gordon. He's walking around with his Speedos.
He'd have a Speedo and like a white leather jacket open.
Oh, man.
And a pair of thongs.
Oh, a pair.
A pair of thongs and some sunglasses.
You'll have a blast. So it's a pro-am. So are you paired with a pro?
I probably will be, for sure.
Don't know who yet?
Well, you kind of play, though. They give you a handicap, and you just play amongst everybody, I guess. So it's just, I don't know. It's a par 3 golf course, but it's apparently very difficult because if the winds are 40, 50 miles an hour, your ball will just fly with it. So you have to really take that into consideration. So you're hitting drivers on holes that are only like 170 yards away.
Would you rather wind into your face or at your back?
Oh, at the back all day, because then you can just get it up and it'll ride it. You can easily hit it too far if the wind's behind you like that. But I'm not Lee Trevino or any of those professional styles, so I'll be just struggling. I'll just try and keep and punch it and keep it low as possible.
Do you take your clubs or do they provide them?
I'll bring my own bats.
And you can go direct from Toronto to Bermuda?
Yeah. Yeah, I fly WestJet and it rips me right down there quick.
Your Jerry D's are going.
Jerry D's going, yes.
And Natasha Stanishevsky.
She's going.
Oilers fan, TSN broadcaster.
Yeah, there's a bunch of golfers going too. My buddy Billy Walsh, who's I think number 3 in Canada right now.
Come on.
Player, yeah. He's a good bod, so we'll be playing a little bit out, and we'll be hitting some other courses. I think the Ocean course is an amazing course.
Oh, really? So you're going to play, like, actual golf as well as just par 3 golf?
Yes.
Have you been practicing?
I hit balls a couple times, but my hands are a little weak. So, yeah, I'll be taking it easy, but I won't be I'll try not to hit. I've hit balls, like, twice in the last week, so trying to get a little bit of a feeling.
How competitive are you, Jeremy Taggart?
I'm not really that competitive. I don't care if I hit a bad shot. I'm the first person laughing.
Are you?
Usually.
Yeah.
But I hate it, and I don't like it. And if it happens consistently, then I just kind of get bummed out, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. I'm in a great place, and I'm not having fun. You know, that's not cool. Because then you think, well, look where I am, and I'm playing golf. I'm not working or doing anything that takes anything other than just to hang out, and I'm upset. Like, and then you get real, and you're like, oh, okay, forget about it. Who cares? And by the way, I'm not a professional golfer at all, so why the hell would I get upset when those guys are hitting balls all day long?
And every day.
You know what I mean? And they don't get upset if they hit a bad shot, and I'm getting upset if I'm hitting a bad shot and I don't practice, you know, 7 days a week. Like, forget about it.
This is the thing, not to get into...
I get mad at people that suck at golf, that get mad when they hit a bad shot. Like, it's like, really? You got that much gall to think you should be better than this? Really? Like, it takes such a long time to get good at this thing, to hit the damn ball straight. It's one of those things.
But I feel like, and not to be too in depth on golf, so that if you don't golf or you've never golfed, this won't be interesting to you. But I feel like golf is the kind of thing that it doesn't take that long to be able to just play it.
Well,
but you can hit the gap between I can play it and I can excel at it, like, you have to do it 3-4 times a week to either maintain or improve.
Well, it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to, like, shoot 105 or 110 and that's fine, you can definitely play, practice a little bit and hit the ball semi. If you have to go to somebody, give yourself a chance by getting some kind of instruction, so you're give hitting it, practicing straight, properly at least. Yeah. Because otherwise you're just going to get frustrated. I know people who I've taken on the golf course 3 or 4 times, like my buddy Grant Smith from Dallas. He's just never going to golf. He never should golf.
Is he wrapping so 5 irons around shrubs like those guys?
He had to buy 24 balls or something extra, because he was hitting every shot was going into some water or hazard, because he would hit it hard, but it would just banana to the right. So I'd say, okay, we were literally almost aiming behind us, and it would still just go into the woods somewhere, to the point where I was just like, forget it, man. Just don't worry about it. And even him himself, he tried to, went to golf school at his university. Like, he took golf. He tried, like, went to the, like, with great players and everything. He just couldn't, even the teacher there, I think, was like, this isn't for you. Some people just don't have either the flexibility or...
Well, I play so little. I mean, I haven't played in a few years, and I play so little that if I get one good shot a hole, I'm really happy.
Exactly.
My expectations allow me to have a good time, because I don't really care.
I think that's what, in places like Scotland, where people grow up with it, or even in smaller towns where it's very golf-oriented, they kind of, it just comes naturally, so there isn't that feeling or concern or anger. It's generally people who are kind of obsessed about golf that get really mad about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Jerry D is a good golfer, and Jerry D's daughter, who she must be 10 by now, is a really good golfer. I know he's taken her down to a couple of tournaments in Florida and posted some video of her. Like, her form is incredible.
Cool. Well, I mean, he's at the Nationals. That's got some of the best junior facilities there is. That's where Lairdo, my buddy Laird White, is the head golf professional.
Solid dude.
He's awesome. Yeah, Jerry's in good company over there. There's great people at that golf course.
And I think Jerry was a competitive tennis player too, and he played hockey at X, so he's quite an athlete too.
He loves to get out there.
Where does that come from in your family?
He's got the hairdo for it, right?
Oh yeah, he's got great athlete hair.
Yeah.
Like, just got out of the shower all the time, like that hair?
Yeah, like he's actually thinking about, when you look at that kind of hair, it's like, there's an element to the hair.
There's a cap over this.
No, there's an element to the hair that exists because, like, you can go faster in the wind. Like, that's
so what are you going to do with your ponytail? Are you going to wear a hat? And where does the ponytail go? Does it go through the opening in the back?
Underneath. It's low.
Okay.
I tie it up. Like, yeah. You know, like Lisa would, I guess.
Do you plan technique. Your outfits?
Imagine I just have a big man bun with sunglasses on.
No. Or let it down, James, like, Hetfield styles?
No, like Chris Shepherd glasses. Oh, yeah, James Hetfield, like, all down. Oh, man.
But it's in your face because the winds are 40 miles an hour?
Who's that caveman out there?
No. I'm into this. Do you, like, lay out your outfits, or do you
plan? No, man. Come on. Look who you're talking to.
I know, but I wasn't sure if in golf world it's different. Like, you really get into it.
If it was up to me, I'd be playing in shorts and no shoes.
Would you?
Sure.
Where does athletic ability on your side come from?
Because
obviously, you were quite a baseball player. You're a good golfer.
Who, yeah. But I like practicing. Same with drums. I liked the the practice thing. Like I used to practice a lot with baseball, practiced a lot with golf, but I'm not even that good at golf compared to where I got with baseball or where I got with drums, but I still worked really hard on it when I had the time, you know?
Right.
But I think it's just understanding and being open to things, listening. It has a lot to do with listening to others and listening to yourself, like being honest with yourself. I'm sure if you were going to acting classes or if you saw somebody who was, there's just something inherent that's not working and they just can't grasp the idea of capturing a character or understanding of emotion, you know what I mean? When you're trying to get something across and it's just not going to happen and as an actor. It's the same with all of those things. You know, it can be frustrating for some.
So you would say your ability to pick up something like golf has more to do with your openness to learning about how it works than your innate athletic ability?
Yep.
Crazy. Definitely.
Yeah. Because without understanding what you're doing, you have to know what you're doing. With drums, I had to physically know, but I also have to mentally know so I can, you just have to do some research on what you want to do and generally to give yourself a chance to be good at it. That's all you're doing is preparing. That's why I wouldn't go on freaking a stage to do stand-up comedy, because I know how hard it is to be funny for 15 minutes.
Even. And to make it look easy.
Yeah. So, like, that's months and months of preparation and understanding, and there's so many different nuances.
And bombing.
Yeah, and you bomb anyway, no matter the first time you do it, with all that in mind. So you should always, when you're trying to do anything from cooking to mowing your grass, like, learn what's the best way that I can do this to be fast and quick and safe and all those things, you know?
Okay,
not that I'm, like, believe me, I'm far from perfect with that. I'm not Yoda when it comes to that line and moral code, but it's
just... No, I totally get it.
You try to keep it straight and try to understand what you're doing and, you know, but everybody slacks off and doesn't get things done that they want to, but...
I totally get it, but yeah. There must be people that just can't keep time. So it doesn't matter how much they understand what they're trying to do on the drums, they're just physically unable to deliver on that. So it must be a combination to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. But that's what gravitates you to things that you like to do physically, you know, as a sport or... as a job, it's something that you kind of have to feel a connection to, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think I would feel an inclination to do something I don't really think I can do, you know? I don't feel it. Like, I don't feel myself driving an F1 car. That just, it doesn't feel like
something. Doesn't excite you.
Yeah, but if I watch a golf on TV, I like seeing what they're doing, and it's like it's more fun to emulate. Just like if I see a guy hit a baseball or throw a baseball or catch a baseball, it's something I can kind of understand. Even soccer, which I was never good at. I like watching it because I get it. But driving cars or NASCAR, which my brother loves because he loves driving cars, it was a good example why you like something is you probably want to do it too. Right?
On some level.
Yeah.
How did golf enter your life? Was it because you were looking for ways to kind of put in time on the road?
Definitely, yeah.
Other guys were doing it and were going golfing. Do you want to come? One of those?
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's like, how do you kill? Because you get into a city in the morning, like 6, 7 o'clock, depending on how far the drive. If it's an 8-hour drive, you're still there at 10 o'clock in the morning, or you know what I mean? So you're always there during the day killing time till sound check, and sometimes you don't even have sound check because there's like a late load in or whatever. So you literally have to kill time till like 8 o'clock at night. So that's why people probably get into drugs and drinking all the time, because there's just nothing else to do.
What else are you going to do? Yeah.
8 hours. It sucks. that's why golf's fun, because at least you're feeling that time well. And it's like golf when you're home and you have lots of time to do things, golf seems like forever. But when you're on the road, you're like, oh, that was perfect.
Yeah, right. We get back at 3:30, have a shower, and go to the thing. Yeah,
5 hours, all right.
Yeah, you're looking for ways to put in 5 hours.
Exactly.
The Letterkenny guys started their tour in Halifax last night. They'll be in, I don't know, Quebec or Ontario by the time this comes out. We're going to see them in Moncton Friday night, Carol and I. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be pretty wild for them because they're doing, I think it's about 6 weeks straight from coast to coast.
Wow.
And that'll be a learning curve too, probably, won't it? Figuring out how to put in the time in your days.
I see them on the 10th here in Toronto.
Do you?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm psyched. I can't wait. So that'll have them. They'll have a good couple weeks under their belt at that point.
Man, it's so exciting and inspiring to see how fast tickets are flying off the shelves for that thing.
Yeah. Well, you know it's good. So I mean, when you see something catch like that, and they're doing it the right way by having it in this format and the place they're doing, the people that they're bringing, you know, having Mark Forward and K Trev rocking, it's funny too, you know, like people will probably be laughing for, you know, 2.5 hours, which is
well, exactly,
you don't get to have these days.
And in some, yeah, it's a good night out. And in some cases they have shows like an early show at 6:30 and a late show at 8:30 or whatever, which is also really smart because they're playing soft seaters, and that will circumnavigate people getting too banged up.
Yeah.
Right? Smart. You're starting at 9:30.
You can only have, yeah. So you know the late crowd, we're going to have some people parking lot styles.
Speaking of touring and late starts, we will be announcing a Sarnia venue change. It sounds like the venue that we are going to play in Sarnia has since closed its doors.
Yes.
Hopefully nothing to do with our impending arrival. But I'm getting fired up, bud. We're doing some 5 dates in Ontario in May.
Is that 5 days in May, bud? Well,
can we call it 5 days in May?
Can we call it the 5 days in May?
They met in a hurricane. Let's take a break, bud.
Be right back, buds.
Gino, you won't believe this new idea
I got. What is it? This better be important. The Sandusky twins are getting impatient in my room.
Hey, I got no time for that. Hey, maybe you think one of those girls might like me, though?
I don't think so. They both seem pretty occupied.
Come on, Gino. How can we never...
Joe, you're interrupting. What can I do you for? Same question the Sandusky questions ask me.
They're really good looking, too. Wow.
Hey, look. So you understand why I'm getting a little bit impatient with this verbal transaction?
Anyway, come over into my room and listen to this idea.
Joe, ready? Can this not wait?
I'm telling you, you gotta hear my new idea.
Well, this better be important, because I'm kind of in the middle of something over here.
Just listen to the idea, okay?
Listen. Okay, quick, what is it? What is this garbage?
What do you think of this lick? I got the drum machine and everything going. Listen.
It's not really the kind of lick that I'm interested in right at the moment. Can this wait?
Gino, don't you hear this song idea? Isn't that great, that riff? Come on, listen.
It's not even an idea, Joe. It's just...
What do you think, okay, man? Come on.
It sounds like the opening of a cooking show or something.
It's just such a good jam, man. It's not a cooking show, man.
It doesn't really scream hit, Joe.
Oh, man, forget it,
all right? You know what? I'm meeting with Roy tonight, and we're going to talk about some other ideas, so I'll let you know if we need any ideas.
How come you never let me hang out with Roy?
Because, you know, it's just kind of three's a crowd, except in the case of the Sandusky twins.
You don't know anything about music, though. I'm the one writing music.
Can I please finish what I started and then talk to you afterwards?
All right, forget it, Gino. I'm just going to keep writing.
You're such a Joe.
Get lost, Gino.
What's going to happen?
Cut. I don't know. This is pretty bad. This is a pretty scary situation. They're fighting.
It certainly seems as though we are positing that Henry, pipe down, bud. Henry, pipe down, bud. We are Henry, pipe down, bud. Every time I say the word positing. It's Henry. It certainly seems as though we are positing that Joe wrote the song Black Cars.
Yeah.
Let's find out what happened a week later.
Okay.
Hey. What's this going on here? What? Hey. That's my song idea.
Hey, Joe, listen to this. We're just rehearsing.
What? What the hell's going on? That's my idea, Gino.
What? What are you talking about, Joe?
I played the same thing.
Where?
Look at that part. That's my part.
Ideas are in the ether, Joe, and sometimes they can just land in anyone's lap at the same time. It might be a coincidence, but it doesn't mean that it was your idea, guys. Right, Roy? Yeah, that's right, Gino.
Why every single time I say I want to write with both you guys, and this is the only part in the song, and you're taking it from me?
Hey.
What the hell's going on?
Joe, hey, Roy, I'm so sorry you have to see him like this.
Hey, it's no problem, Gino.
Of course. You sound like Tin Pan Alley guy. He gets blown in from place to place.
Yeah, same shit happened when we were doing Wish Splash. I was taking a bath.
Roy had a tracheotomy.
We had to break a guy's legs for Fats Domino.
That's how long he's been around.
Where it stops being like a heritage minute and starts being insane and we take liberties. That is the line that always amuses me.
Hey, this one.
Jerry Lee Lewis got his great balls of fire from the time I took a lighter to his nuts for the publishing.
Hey, Roy. Because we Googled who wrote Black Cars, and it was Gino and some guy named Roy.
Yeah.
So suddenly he has to be represented in here. Hey, Roy, do you remember me playing something and saying this was from Joe?
No, Gino, I sure don't.
See, Joe, there you go.
Just like I said when I was writing Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. Did you know that Splish Splash, I was taking a bath was actually a metaphor for a guy getting jacked? He was taking a bath with concrete shoes on.
He's wrote all these songs in the 50s, but he just shows up and takes ideas.
Roy.
Hey, if you don't mind, I'll be over here resting comfortably on my laurels.
He hears some hit on a beat somewhere, and he's boom, shows up.
Well, that's a nice little melody I got there.
Oh, he's a riff jacker?
Yeah.
He's one of the original riff jackers from the 50s.
Did you know Great Balls of Fire was actually about a Molotov cocktail thrown into a diner?
Oh, man, did you know Chuck Berry's name was Larry?
And I was like, there's no way you can make a career as a guy named Larry Barry. You better chuck that name out and get a new one. And he was like, well, Chuck, it is then.
Who's going to buy a record from a guy named Larry Berry?
That's really dumb.
You know who'll never be on top of the charts? Larry Barry, that's who.
Roy.
I'm trying to find a picture of good old Roy. Have you seen him? Do you know his last name?
No. Maybe he lived down the street from Joe and Gino.
Right. Roy Freeland. Let's get a look at this Roy guy. I feel like we might have overshot the runway on Roy Freeland.
I could always hear the from the back window Gino and Joe's house.
Listen to this. He's worked for Alan Jackson, Barry Manilow.
Yeah, he is.
Laura Branigan. He is a riff jacker.
He is that guy.
He's a riff jacker from the 50s.
I saw him at this strip club in Vegas, and this is a girl named Mandy. She starts singing a tune. I said, Barry Manilow's gonna love this.
I gave her $2.
Roy. His credits at All Music.
I mean, I think maybe we added the part of the tracheotomy.
How he got Copacabana for Barry Manilow.
Roy wrote for Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
He wrote for everybody. So why is Gino throwing him some cake instead of hiring Joe?
Because he heard the riff.
Wow. He wrote for Jack Wagner, wrote for the Judds, wrote for Smokey Robinson.
Get out of here.
The Oak Ridge Boys, 38 Special. DeBarge. Patti LaBelle. Frank Stallone. Crazy.
Maybe Frank Stallone heard Black Cars and was like, man, I could do that.
He's a real guy. And you know what? There's some music bud listening right now. What? All night long, live. There's some music bud listening right now going, I can't believe you guys don't know Roy Freeland.
Yeah. Well, can't know them all, I say.
I kind of like our version of Roy better. Roy.
It's a nice little melody you got there, kid.
Hey, you're never going to amount to much, so I might as well take it.
Imagine if someone, Paul Simon's playing Bridge Over Troubled Water on the piano.
What's that you're tinkling there on the piano?
And all he says is, thank you. Like, I'll be taking that. Thank you.
He's got a little recording thing.
He's starting to sound like Tony Danza.
Thanks, Angela.
And that's that for that.
Hey, thanks, Gino.
Joe Vanelli, it stands to reason, might be jealous of Roy Freeland in real life. So Roy would say to Gino,
let me handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, here we go.
Hey, Joe, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mind if I sit on your bed with you?
Ah, sure.
Joe, I'm going to tell you a story. In this life and in this world, there are two types of people, okay? I had to learn this very young. There are Genos, stars, who belong front and center in the spotlight. And then there are guys like you and me, Joe. Joes of the world. Let me finish. You gotta find a way to be content being a Joe. Because I hate to break it to you, but I can only say this because someone said it to me, and he's unfortunately not with us anymore as a result of that conversation. But here's the thing. You got to find a way to be content being a Joe, because you're never going to be a Gino, in the same way that I'm never going to be a Sinatra. Joe, look in my face.
You
look at me with your eyes. I am telling you this out of love, in the way that someone had to tell me, who again is not here anymore to defend themselves.
Listen, I ain't gonna let no Rockies manager tell me what to do, all right?
Joe, I know you're hurting right now. I can see it in your eyes. I can see there's pain. And it's not just because my hands are clasped around your neck. It's also good. Joe, you're listening now. This is good. We're making progress. Wild horses will drag you away from Gino's career. Do you understand me? Have a nap. Nighty night, Joe. Hey, Gino, where were we? Joe's gonna be just fine, aren't you, Joey?
Yeah. I promise.
Poor Joe got choked out.
Joe got choked out by Roy Freeland. In the same way that we're going to get choked out by Roy's lawyers.
He got choked out in such a way that he's like, okay, I'll never bother you again.
It's kind of a happy ending to our story, but also kind of terrifying and sad. Whew! Roy Freeland, who knew?
Yeah, who knew he was such a strong, strong presence in the industry?
It's funny how all of our duos suddenly have a third party.
It's happy accidents.
Yep. Like Gary Lake with Andrea and Laramie.
Gary Lake.
Jeremy Taggart, what's the plate liquor story? Because we were talking about you going golfing, and then you alluded to the plate liquor story, and then said, have I ever told you? And the answer is no, you haven't.
One time on a bus somewhere in the Midwest in America, on a day off, we were on the bus drinking, and there were some people on there, and one guy was super banged up on the bus. And these two girls walk in, and just before they came in, he didn't know who they were, but he was like, those girls are hookers, throughout that line. It's like, okay, whatever, pal. And then they came on, and he's like, to both of them, he's like, which one of yous two's a plate licker, and which one of yous two fucks men? And I specifically remember the M-I-N, men, as opposed to men. That's how inebriated this cat was.
Plate liquor. So,
plate liquor came out of the... That's just a greasy phrase right there.
Never heard it before.
Well, it's probably popular in the Midwest or probably the West.
What did you do? Put the boots to him?
No, he... Yeah.
By that I mean ask him to leave, not stomp him.
As opposed to like, because sometimes people, they get aggressive, so you just kind of hope they pass out and get them off.
What are the rules for coming on the bus?
Usually it's not, nobody really comes on unless you know them, generally. So usually it's just friends and people that are you know,
pre-approved. Close. You must have lots of door knockers, though.
What's that?
You must have lots of door knockers.
Oh, yeah, lots of door knockers. Window slappers.
Oh.
The big full arm smacks.
So who puts that under control?
There's not really. It's never really bad. You know, it's not like people rocking the bus madness or anything. Just lots. At worst, I remember just people trying to get your attention, because if they can see you, like you're changing and all of a sudden you realize they can see in but you can't see out, really.
Does that happen?
Well, I don't know.
People can see you changing your shirt, tarps off. Well,
if the light's on and you think it's a tinted window, it's not tinted if the light's on.
This was interesting. Someone posed the question, what's the best three-song run on a record?
Yeah.
You were very heavily involved.
I had a lot of good ones. Well, I was just, I saw it as a thing, and I was like, okay, this is an interesting thing. It's kind of difficult if you think about it, because it is pretty tough to have three full songs that crush in a row.
Like, almost impossible.
It is, yes. On an album, I mean, you don't see that much. You don't see it, people don't really listen to albums anymore, but generally. So yeah, I took to it pretty nicely. And I think I came up with about 10 or 12, I think.
And what, if you had to pick just one, what was it?
Well, I got a couple, like Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan has Visions of Johanna, into One of Us Must Know, into I Want You. Those are three classics. It even goes into Stuck Inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues again, which is incredible as well.
That's a four banger.
Yeah. A Physical Graffiti by Zeppelin's got Kashmir into In the Light into Bronyar, which is insane. Sticky Fingers, Sway, Wild Horses into Can't You Hear Me Knocking. That's pretty swank. The Cars, this one's a hair blowback. It's their first album, which even makes it more crazy, but it's Good Times Roll, Here She Comes Again, and Just What I Needed.
Wow. Like,
that's how they started their career to the world. That's probably got to be top five.
So midway through the first track.
What's that?
Midway through the first track, they're already all in.
Yeah, after the Gold Rush is good, it's got the title track, and then Only Love Can Break Your Heart and Southern Man. Tom Petty, Damn the Torpedoes, Refugee, Here Comes My Girl, and Even the Losers. That's pretty good trio right there.
How much thought do you give on the order of songs?
A lot. I mean, not as much maybe anymore, but I mean, back in the day, it was everything. And usually the hit song the biggest hit song was generally like number 7. That was almost across the board with albums for some
wonder
reason.
Why?
Yeah, like that was, you know, the first single, second single, and the big single was always the maybe the first or the third, depending on the approach from the record company. But I mean, usually number 7 was a pretty important song.
If you interesting. Look at records
across the board.
On the Western Skyline, Into Every Little Kiss, Into Mandolin Rain. Boom. Hornsby. Ooh. The way it is.
Exodus. Exodus into Jamming, into Waiting in Vain. That's yeah, a good okay. trio.
That is, that's a three banger right there.
Oh, maybe one of the best. Fully Completely by The Hip.
Heard of them.
Fully Completely into 50 Mission Cap into Wheat Kings. Like, come on. That's hardcore.
That is hardcore.
I mean, that's another top 5, maybe.
It's definitely
number one, Canada.
I got a message from our bud, Tom Strangward, who is a broadcaster in Turbo Bud. He actually does the voice for the Junior A team, the Spruce Grove Saints. And he sent me a message saying, you know, he listens to the pod and he's really happy for what we've done. And he said, you know, as Canadians, we're so regional and so different from region to region. There aren't many things that unite us as a country. And he felt the passing of Gord Downie is one of those things. So he sent me a clip of one of his intros to a Spruce Grove Saints broadcast in which he dropped, you know, 20 hip titles.
Yeah.
Sundown and the Pairs of the Prairies and stuff. And it was epic.
Wow, cool.
So that feels like a good place to end this episode. A shout to Tom.
Yeah, not to mention the shout to Timbo for rocking it in Korea, becoming South Korea's favorite band.
No kidding.
I mean, it was incredible seeing them with everybody in the Canada House there.
The Tessa fantastic. And Scott of it all?
Yeah.
So Tim, Tom, this one's for you, Bots.
Hey, Bots.